Good morning, church. Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 119, verses 49 through 56. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Some of the hardest seasons in life are not very loud. They sort of creep in quietly and really unexpected, slow and lingering, you know, the kind of seasons where maybe nothing is even technically falling apart, but there's a longing, there's an ache. For some people, those who live in the Midwest, as we do, this happens every year during the long, cold winter, right? But whether it's that seasonal affective disorder, which is really ironic because it is the acronym SAD, or whether there's circumstances and challenges that are happening externally in your life or internally in your heart and mind. Those seasons are hard. And brothers and sisters, so often we press on in those seasons like we're still showing up, we're still praying, we're still trying to be faithful, but there's a darkness, there's a heaviness that has moved in. And this becomes then not only a season of affliction and suffering, it becomes a season of waiting. You're wondering, when are things going to change? Where is God in the midst of all of this? So again, oftentimes these seasons that can be very discouraging, they're not shouting, they're whispering. And again, then our mind begins to echo some of those same queries. Is God really with me? How is this gonna turn out? Will it always be this way? Why is this happening? Did you know that God's people have always lived with these tensions? Always, since the beginning of humanity. As we read the Bible cover to cover, all 66 books, essentially you see the authors of, the people who wrote the Bible, echo these same sentiments. Like, so often, the people who wrote these words, you understand, they weren't writing them from like a cozy or comfortable lounge chair or beach chair, you know, with a tasty drink in their hand and the sun, warmth of the sun on their shoulders. They're often written from places of darkness and difficulty and hurting and long nights of waiting. And the Psalms are no different. In fact, Psalm 119 is really no different. In its beautiful arc, there are many times of blessing and joy, but there are also these low points that we see, and the passage that Christy read for us today is one of those. And yet, woven through every verse is this confidence in the God of the Bible, and a confidence in His Word, the Bible. And the confidence isn't that life is going to be easy. We won't face those seasons or those challenges. It's that despite the fact that we all walk through those, our God is faithful. Faithful in times of affliction. And that's what we're going to talk about together this morning. So my name is John, and I'm just thrilled that you're here with us this morning. What a joy, what an honor it is to be together as a local church family and the opportunity I have to share the Word of God, and I'm just grateful for that today. As I do that, as we study the Word of God today, I'm praying that as you study God's Word, He brings you closer to His heart. So we've got another installment from Psalm 119 today. We're doing a four-week study of this particular psalm. It happens to be the longest chapter in all of the Bible. And again, the author of this psalm knew dark days. He knew affliction. We suspect that the author is King David. He has other psalms that are written in the same format, which is an acrostic poem style. This psalm is not directly attributed to him, so whether it was him or not, we're not 100% sure. But even as you look at David and his life, we know that he walked through hard things, affliction, suffering. Like, if you know his story, you remember there were seasons where King Saul, who was the reigning king, and David was the junior, he'd been anointed and appointed, but not yet in that role king. Like, Saul is actively chasing David around, trying to kill him. Must have been very harrowing. Or times where David had done the right thing. You think about the episode where he's dancing with joy before the ark of the Lord, only to then be criticized and attacked. In fact, we will learn much more about the life of David because that's going to be our next sermon series. So this is a bit of a teaser because this is actually where we're going as a church this spring. We're going to be doing a study of the life of David. That begins 2 weeks from this morning. So we're looking forward to learning even more about that. But it's sort of easy then as we study Psalm 119 to see the pain and the suffering, perhaps from David's life, or if it wasn't David, from someone else's life, that the author of this particular psalm knew darkness. Because when life feels unstable, God gives us something to hold on to. He gives us his precious words. And virtually every verse in Psalm 119 speaks about the Bible, God's word, God's statutes, God's precepts, God's commands, and how we delight in those, which we've already talked about. But here's what we're going to emphasize this morning as we talk about these seasons of affliction and suffering is that the thing that sustains us in those times of affliction is indeed God's word. So if you brought a Bible with you this morning, go ahead and open it up. We're going to walk through this psalm together. Sort of the equivalent of the letter Z in the English language for the Hebrew alphabet at Zion, and we go, oh, well, that should be the last letter, but it's not the last letter, and that's okay. But it starts in verse 49, and I'm reading from the NIV. It begins, "Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this." So let's take note. Comfort in suffering is this, your promise. Your promise preserves my life, the author says. If we look there closely at verse 49, the beginning of this section, notice what it is that the psalmist asks God to remember. He doesn't ask God to remember his pain. He doesn't ask God to remember my enemies and the things that they're doing, not his circumstances. He asks God to remember his word. That's not because God has a bad memory. That's not, hey, Lord, I know you've forgotten and I need to remind you. He asks God to remember his word because we cling to, and that's what's being demonstrated for us here. We cling to what God has said, what God has spoken, what God has done, what God has revealed to us through his word. And what good news that God always keeps his promises. That when the Lord says it, when the scripture reveals it, we can trust it. And if you're anything like me, you really value when people keep their word. It's something you strive for in your own life, and it's something you value in the life of others, right? From things small, like, yep, I'll call you back, I'll get back with you, to things large and monumental, till death do us part. We value when people keep their word. One example I love comes from the Disney movie Aladdin, if you remember that great children's film. It's near the end of the film. Aladdin, as you know the story, he's given 3 wishes. He's used 2 of them. He has 1 wish left, and he could use it to secure the life that he really wants, that comfort and that status, that sort of perfect life. But the problem is he has told his pal Genie that he'll use a wish to set him free, right? I like to think that Aladdin made that choice because he wanted to keep his word, because he had said to his friend, I'm going to do this, and he came through. And then you can just see the response, the joy that comes, the respect that comes. It's just, I think it's a powerful moment, and I think it illustrates this, that we all know how rare that kind of integrity is. Some of us carry regrets about the fact that we haven't kept our word, but we're blessed when other people do? And how much more, my friends, should we be filled with joy and gratitude knowing? We may wonder if people are going to keep their word to us, but we do not have to wonder if God will keep his word. God's promises are true. They are always true. God always keeps his word. And that makes all the difference in the world. Here's how this then impacts us as we study through this passage in Psalm 119, verses 49 through 56, that God's word grounds us in times of darkness. It grounds us. It gives us a peace, a wholeness, a stability. Like, have you ever stumbled around your house in the dark? Like, something happens in the middle of the night, you have to get up. It's like, you know your house very well. You navigate those same hallways and rooms, but in the dark, all of a sudden, every corner is, like, sticking out to stub your toe on. Every little thing has been left out on the floor for you to step on and to cry out in pain. Like, everything, it just becomes this jungle of stuff in the way, and you're stumbling and you're hurting yourself as you make your way through it. That's because darkness has a way of disorienting you. But God's word grounds us in those times of darkness. And that picture of walking through our house in the dark is sort of an illustration, or it's an image of what happens to us spiritually in times of affliction, in times of suffering, in times of hardship. It just messes with our perspective. We don't see things as we normally would in the light of day, in a right frame of mind and heart. And oftentimes it's in those dark places that our enemy whispers lies to us, wants to mislead us, takes us in a place of discouragement and vulnerability, and goes to work to crush us even more. When you sense those things like, this will never end, there is no way out, God has totally forgotten you, God has given up on you, you're on your own, you could never be forgiven. That's the attack of the enemy. But when we come to God's word, even with a heavy heart, even in a time of darkness, it grounds us. That's why the Bible matters so much to us in every season of life, including seasons of suffering. Not because it magically fixes everything. You see, that's the mistake that the world, the unbelieving world, says, well, for people of faith or for followers of Jesus, they just think it's this magical crutch that will solve all their problems. They don't understand it. It's when we hide ourselves in God's word, even in the times of darkness, it doesn't magically fix everything. It simply tells us the truth. And it's when we hear the truth, it's when we sense that we are grounded, we are rooted, we are no longer in panic mode, trying to take flight. When our hearts are tempted to believe lies, God's word grounds us. That's why we see in verse 105, which we're putting to memory, Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. It's because God's word illuminates the way. And we've talked about that over the last 2 weeks, that it's God's word that shows us the way. It directs our feet. It reveals the next step. So in seasons of darkness, we can anchor our souls in God's promises. Secondarily, God's word guards us in times of disgrace. So what we see here, and we'll look at the next few verses in just a moment, but from this passage, but in many other places in Scripture and in the Psalms, like, there's something like a ridicule, a mockery, those voices. It's the naysayers that are bringing that criticism with the mocking and the jeering. So it's not necessarily just an internal struggle or a physical affliction. Those things are hard enough. But that sort of social pressure cuts deep. When we're made to feel foolish or outdated, I mean, that's certainly one that I experience regularly. That the ideas that I hold that are based on the Scripture are somehow not applicable or appropriate for 2026 in the good old USA. Like we've evolved and we've changed and we've grown. It's like, but God's word is unchanging. So it's not that I'm stuck in the past, it's that I'm rooted in something firm. It's those times where we're called Neanderthals or we're called naive because we simply take God at his word. And really, here's the temptation. When following Jesus starts to cost us something, like we lose status or we become unpopular or uncool or we face that sort of mockery and jeering, then we're tempted to sort of, shall we say, just loosen our grip. Like to not really care as much. I don't really want to be seen as a Jesus freak. To maybe soften our convictions. Like, well, I thought that I had that conviction, but no one else seems to really have that, so, right? And what do we do then? We tend to just sort of start to blend in. That's the temptation. When that sort of social pressure comes, when the mockery and the jeering comes, it's like, well, okay, I don't want to be seen as the weirdo, so all of a sudden, my spiritual perspective has shifted. But friends, that should not be. God's word applies to every age and stage and throughout all of human history. That may be lived out in different ways, but God's word is unchanging. And so don't give in to that temptation to just fit in with what others are thinking and saying and doing. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, Jesus says in Matthew 7:14. The other temptation is, well, I'll just keep it all to myself. So then we have this whole constituency who, I'm not going to talk about my faith or even my religion. That's just a private matter. So I'm not going to tell you what I am. I'm not going to tell you who I follow. I'm not going to tell you what I believe. You do you. I'll do me. Like, let's just keep it hush hush. To which I say, our walk with Jesus is personal, but it's not private. In fact, 2 weeks from today, we're going to be baptizing a number of individuals. They're going public with their faith. And I have said to them, we're doing this as we see it done in the scriptures in a public format. Anyone can come. In fact, we'll live stream it so 8 billion people around the globe can see it. We're not doing this in secret. We're not doing this behind closed doors and then no one will ever know if you've made this choice. It's a public thing. So when it comes to our faith, that temptation to say, I'll just keep it private. No, you make a decision on who you are and you live that for the world to see. Okay, let's pick it back up here. We're studying through Psalm 119 and we're at verse 51. It says, the arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. So again, we don't turn from the truth of God's word, even when we're disgraced. God's word guards us in those times of disgrace. It helps to, more than anything else, when I say that, more than anything else, God's word guards us by helping us to not be shaped by the voices and the culture around us. Like, that's what I mean. It guards us by preserving the gospel and the truth of God and what he has done in our hearts and minds. Oh, that we would be shaped more by the word than by the world. And really, isn't that the good news of the gospel? That, as I've just said, God's word, it's not that it guards us from the opinions of others, but it actually leads us to Christ when we're facing those times of suffering and hardship or mockery and jeering, when we're confused, when we're desperate, when we feel overwhelmed. And do you know what? Jesus knew those feelings as well. Yeah, that's right. Jesus was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was publicly shamed. In fact, we read this in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, right, Mark? Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus knew this hard road of affliction. And so when we come to him in our time of need, he understands it and he comforts us. And what Jesus did was he trusted the promises of God the Father. He trusted God's word all the way to the cross. And it was on that cross that he took our disgrace, our sin, our wrongs, the punishment that you and I deserve and offered us grace. He bore the shame so that we could stand secure in the Lord. So when you feel mocked or misunderstood, God's word, it doesn't just tell us what to do. Oftentimes, I mean, as we've just discussed, it does show us the next step. God's word reveals the path before us, but it reveals to us who we are and who we belong to. And that's when you begin to realize what good news, that God's word actually grows us in times of delay. And by that, I mean these times of waiting, these times of darkness. Like we tend to be impatient. So we go through something hard, the affliction hits, and we go, okay, Lord, I get it. I've had enough. Like we go, lesson learned, attitude check in place. We go, thanks, God. You can take it away now. And then sometimes we go, Lord, can you hear me? I asked you to take this away. Lord, I'm ready for the next season. And I would just say this. Those seasons of waiting are dangerous if we're not anchored in God's word. Those seasons of waiting where we say, Lord, change it. And in the next breath, Lord, how could you leave me in this state? You must not be a good and loving God. But when we're anchored in God's word, we realize the truth, that he is with us, that he understands us, that he cares for us. So that's a dangerous place to be, is waiting and demanding a change of season when we're not anchored in God's word. Like, we can grow bitter and cynical and angry or even apathetic. But the reality is God is going to use those seasons of hardship and affliction and darkness to grow us in endurance and faith and obedience and, yes, even a spirit of joy. Let's keep reading in Psalm 119. We're at verse 54. Check this out. It says, your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. Like, wherever I lodge, no matter where I go, no matter where I stay, I carry this song in my heart of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. Those lodges that are comfy and cozy and neat and nice and happy and filled with celebrations and all my friends, but also those lodges that are damp and dark and smelly and I feel like I'm all alone. I've lived in 13 different houses. So I know what it is to move. Some of that was in childhood. Some of that has been in adulthood. That does not include, by the way, 3 months where I lived in a hotel and 3 months where I was voluntarily homeless. And it's funny because when I married Rachel, she had lived in exactly one house for her entire life. Same room, same house, same farm, generation after generation. And then we proceeded as newlyweds in our first 5 years of marriage, it was, to live in 6 different houses in our first 5 years of marriage. Like, she signed up for that, I guess. But the point is just, no matter where you reside, no matter where you call home, what a wonderful heart. No matter what the season is that you're in, that the Lord is our strength and our song. The Psalms say that elsewhere, that he has become my salvation. In verse 55, in the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. Boy, in these seasons of hardship, the nights are the hardest, aren't they? When sleep evades you, when the pain for some reason seems to intensify. It's like our worries get louder. Those voices get more prominent. Our suffering is magnified. It's really when waiting is the most difficult, isn't it? Is through the night. In fact, I learned in my study this week that in the monasteries of the Eastern Orthodox Church, now we don't take very many ideas or practices from them, but in the monasteries of the Eastern Orthodox Church, every day at midnight, the monks, they gather for this time of like prayer and scripture reading, and they read Psalm 119 every day at midnight. Which is cool because we didn't get there yet, but let me show you this verse that's coming up in the next passage. In verse 62, here's what it says. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous law. So I imagine that's where that tradition is rooted, in that particular verse. But at midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws, that God's word would be louder than the worries filling our heads on sleepless nights. Because the delay, the waiting, it doesn't mean that God is absent. In fact, oftentimes, delay is how God does his deepest work. Like, as hard as it is, in those times of waiting, in those seasons, God produces those things in us, like Romans chapter 5 tells us, like perseverance and character and hope. So growth rarely happens on our timeline, but in the hands of God, he will use these seasons of affliction, in which God is faithful, and we cling to that, to teach us and to grow us. In fact, verse 71 of this psalm, Psalm 119, says, it was good for me to be afflicted. What? This is the perspective from the Bible. It was good for me to be afflicted. Why? So that I might learn your decrees. Well, that's spiritual maturity, isn't it? For us to be able to say, I've been through some hard things. And maybe even going through something difficult right now, but I'm grateful for it because God is faithful in this season. And because God is using this season to grow me into the person he wants me to be. So God's word doesn't just help us to like survive waiting. It shapes who we become while we're waiting. So at the heart of this passage is really this deep confidence in God's faithfulness in times of affliction, the word of God as an anchor for our souls in these difficult times. What good news that we serve a God who will walk with us through the darkness, through the difficulty. That God always keeps his word. God's promises can be trusted. And the greatest promise, of course, fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord said, I'm sending one who will save you. And he made good on that. And every promise in Christ, forgiveness, restoration, life, hope, paradise with the Lord in his presence forever, is yes in him, the scripture says. So Jesus is the living word. As we talk about how precious the treasure of the Bible is, God's written word, Jesus is the living word. And he proves God doesn't lie. God's incapable of lying. So friends, life is going to bring seasons of affliction. You know this. You've lived this. Some of you are in it right now. Life is going to bring seasons of affliction, but don't loosen your grip. Don't start to question or wonder if God is really with you or cares about you. Come to the scriptures and be reminded and strengthened about what the Bible says. Let it ground you. Let it guard you. Let it grow you. And maybe even when you don't know what to say, just simply cling to what God has already said. Because in every season, God's promises are trustworthy. In every storm, Christ is enough. Christ is our anchor. In these seasons of darkness, seasons of disgrace, seasons of delay, we can anchor our souls in this faithful promise, the promises of God's word and God's goodness. Let's pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, we stand before you this morning, humbled by the ways that life has knocked us down, at times confused and overwhelmed by the darkness that has seeped in. And yet, Lord, we stand before you with grateful hearts. We stand before you calling on, crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can offer salvation. How thankful we are, Lord, that you are with us, that you are the God who sees us. And so, Lord, we simply pray that through your word, you would continue to guard our hearts and minds, to walk with us as a good, loving shepherd, and that in it, Lord, you would get the glory. So, Lord, we reflect this morning on what you've done for us.